I guess you can see where this is going. Today we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, and Jesus' baptism is this moment of manifestation. As I said last week, the Eastern Church celebrates this by the name Epiphany, because it's the manifestation of Jesus' identity and mission. When he is baptized, the Father's voice comes down from heaven to him. You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. And that, I mean, that's a powerful statement for us to receive of Jesus. And this is one of those moments where we see, when Jesus is baptized, we see him transform something. Baptism was transformed when Jesus was baptized. Like when you and I, when we got baptized, the waters of baptism changed us. It took away our original sin, made us temples of the Holy Spirit, and made us sons and daughters of God. We were already made in God's image and likeness, already infinitely loved and desired by him, but baptism changed us. Now, when Jesus was baptized, it didn't change him. He changed it. So before Jesus was baptized, John was baptizing people. People were coming down into the Jordan. They were acknowledging their sins publicly. I don't know if they were in a particular way, but they were just saying, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. And as a symbol of that repentance and their sins being washed away, they would be baptized by John. And so there was a symbolic gesture to it. But when Jesus was touched with the waters of baptism, something different happened. He made them holy. In the Old Testament, when somebody would touch a leper, the person would become unclean. They would then not be allowed to be out in public or interact with people in certain ways. They wouldn't be allowed to go to the temple and worship until they'd gone through a ritual purification. Also, if you touch a dead body, you were unclean. There were a lot of things that would, if you touch them, you don't make them clean, they make you unclean. And a lot of the ritual worship had to do with being clean or unclean. It doesn't necessarily mean you did a sin. You committed a sin. You just got to go through a purification right before you can go worship in the temple. Well, when Jesus comes along, that changes. When he touches the leper, he does not become unclean. The leper is healed. When he touches a dead person, or in the case, one case even touches just the coffin of a passing funeral procession, he touches the coffin, the young man comes back to life. Because what Jesus touches, where he is allowed to touch, it's transformed. So when the waters of baptism hit Jesus, they were no longer just a symbol of God's grace or a symbol of repentance, but actually were given divine power to wash away sins and to make us sons and daughters of God, to make us temples of the Holy Spirit where God would dwell, so that he could pour his Holy Spirit into our hearts. And that's what happened to you at your baptism. You actually received the Holy Spirit, and God poured his Holy Spirit into your heart and into your soul. His divine life is within you. That was received, for those of you who have been confirmed, more deeply and more profoundly. And some of you are about to be confirmed on Tuesday. And more profoundly did you receive a fuller outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And yet, it is possible to receive those sacraments, but not experience the grace and the power of those sacraments. The church has theology for this. We talk about sacramental grace being bound, like shackled. It's not free always to operate. Sometimes the grace of the Holy Spirit in us doesn't fully operate because we doubt God's love for us personally. Sometimes it's because of sin, or it's because of just a dullness or lack of desire toward God. And we can have that sacramental grace be held bound. But the Lord wants to unchain that grace and release in an effective way the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the first and most profound sense in which he wants to do that is that each one of us would hear and believe in the Father's love for us. And not just believe here, because I think we know that you're a son, you're a daughter of God. He wants to believe that you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter, and you I am well pleased. We actually believe that because of our baptism, we participate in who Jesus is. And in a way, we participate in his relationship with the Father. So these words said of Jesus are also said over you. The Father says these to you. And you might believe that here, but do you know it? Do you know it here? And be honest, if you're like, I don't know. I mean, yeah. Now, do you know it? Have you experienced the Father's love for you, his son, his daughter, in whom he is well pleased? There's a lot of things that can hold us back from really believing that here and experiencing that here. Lies of unworthiness, all kinds of things. But the Lord wants to release and like unbind the grace of his Holy Spirit in our lives and for us to experience more freedom. We heard about setting captives free. More joy. You know the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, especially joy. More joy. And so there's this term that's come about in the church of baptism in the Holy Spirit. How many of you have heard of the term baptism in the Holy Spirit in the sense of like the charismatic renewal, you know? Okay, a few, okay, yeah. It's not another baptism, and so it's kind of, in a sense, not a great term. There's one, we believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We say that every Sunday. You can't be rebaptized. If you've been validly baptized, you might, like I've had people say, Father, I want to get baptized again. I'm like, sorry, you don't need to be. What you want, what you're really wanting there, it's either confession, probably, right? Because the Holy Spirit is working through these sacraments. But we can't treat them like they're magic. We can't be superstitious about them. They work with faith. They work in a relationship with God, an encounter with his love in a personal way. And that's why we can receive the Eucharist more or less fruitfully. We can receive confession more or less fruitfully based on our interior disposition, our faith, based on our repentance, based on our trust in God and our experience of his love poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And so this term, baptism in the Holy Spirit, has come to mean a stirring up of those baptismal graces. But it's from John. It's because he says this, I'm baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. John says, I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That term, again, it's not another baptism, and so in a sense, it's a bad term. But in another sense, it's a good term, because it reminds us of the fullness. Am I living out of the fullness of my baptism? Am I living out of the fullness of what it means to be a Catholic? Because as Catholics, and not just in the Catholic Church, but in other places in the Church, we sometimes allow the Holy Spirit to be the forgotten person of the Trinity, you know, and it's kind of hard to relate to the Holy Spirit. I think for all of us, it's easier to relate with the Father and the Son. At least we understand what that means. And it's like, oh yeah, and then the Holy Spirit too, you know, to round it out at three, that's nice, nice round number, you know. The reality is that God wants us to experience more of his love through the Holy Spirit, to have a deeper relationship with the Father and Son through the Holy Spirit. And that we need to avail ourselves more profoundly of the sacramental graces that we've already received. So as I said, when you got baptized, so this is your soul. This is you, your soul when you were born. And, you know, it's good, right? Milk is good, right? I mean, I know that some of you might be lactose intolerant, but let's just pretend. And you're made in God's image and likeness. You're made for eternity, infinitely loved by him. And so you're good, wholesome milk here. But what's better than milk? Chocolate milk. And when you were baptized, something changed. And God poured his Holy Spirit into your hearts, into your souls, and you became sons and daughters of God. That's when you became his children. And in confirmation, he poured more of his Holy Spirit into your hearts, and you received more. So, is this chocolate milk? No, right? You all know this is a familiar analogy, but it's probably not very often used as a visual. Some people in Flint think that I invented this. But it's a familiar analogy to us, I think most of us. It is not chocolate milk. It's milk with chocolate sludge at the bottom. Everything is there. Nothing is lacking. Except, right? Except. And so this is the lived experience often of people, of Christians, of Catholics. It's often the lived experience is, yes, I know God loves me. I know He has made me for eternity. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe that I have a relationship with God. I believe that I'm His son or His daughter. But we've never known it here and experienced it here. And there is so much more that we aren't living in. And sometimes you might have like actually had that chocolate milk stirred up, but it can, over time, it settles back down to the bottom. It'll settle back down. And the joy, the freedom, the power of the Holy Spirit can, in a sense, be dormant in our lives. And God did not give us the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit would be dormant, but so that He would be active and effective in our lives, that He would change the flavor of our lives. The Catholic Church, and in many ways, if you want to, I want to make an analogy to a river, all right? I heard this weekend at this retreat for priests. This guy said, listen, brother, fathers, God's grace is like a river, all right? And the Catholic Church, we have wonderful riverbanks. The banks are awesome, all right? You don't want to, if you don't have riverbanks and you have a bunch of water come through, you get a mess, you get a flood. There's no flow, there's no power in that. It's just out of control. And in some places where the Holy Spirit has been welcomed but with no authority and protection on that, it just gets messy. We have great riverbanks. We have the authority and the hierarchy of the church that Jesus gave us. He gave us the apostles and their successors. He gave us Peter as the one who has the keys. He gave us their authority so that we would have a protection as we discern what the Holy Spirit is doing. And the teaching authority and the magisterium of the church, He gave us that so that we wouldn't go off into our own interpretations of the Bible and just be completely just, well, this is what I think it says. Well, there's riverbanks. They're there so that we can be in the truth. He gave us the sacraments. We, as Catholics, we want to receive all that God is giving us. So the hierarchy and the magisterium and the sacraments and the traditions and the 2,000-year history and the fuller outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was given to the apostles at Pentecost. All of that is our heritage as Christians and as Catholics. And every pope, I think, since Pope Pius X has been praying for a new Pentecost in the church. A new experience of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a personal and a powerful way where we know and can hear God's voice personally. And this baptism in the Holy Spirit that, again, is not another baptism, but is like a new way of receiving God's love personally, a new way of desiring Him and loving Him, a new way of desiring Him and to hear His voice. This is something that maybe you have never experienced before. Maybe you have. Maybe you're living in it right now, but there's still always more. And when you got those riverbanks there, and you got that, we got to let the Holy Spirit, we got to come through and flow through and allow the Holy Spirit to transform us and continue to transform us and fill us with His divine life. That, when we allow that to happen, of course, I can't just stand here and not stir this up. This has got to happen. There's a lot of chocolate in here. I don't think I got it all stirred up yet. Now that's going to taste different. When you drink that, you're going to say, there's something new that wasn't there before. There is something about you, like people are going to notice a joy that wasn't there, a confidence that wasn't there, a love for God and a love for others that wasn't there before, a forgiveness and a freedom to forgive, a freedom to get away from addictions and sins, setting the captives free, a desire to bring people to the Lord and the strength and the grace to do it in love and because of love. There's more that the Lord wants to give His church that we have not yet experienced. And there's something new happening. I was raised in the charismatic renewal, right? I'm not talking about this is the charismatic renewal. For some of you, that brings good things to mind. For some of you, the charismatic renewal brings bad things to mind. For some of you, it's just weird. It's not about the charismatic renewal. It's about being fully Catholic and receiving all that God is saying He wants for His church. And when the birthday of the church that we believe as Catholics is Pentecost. That's the birthday of the church. I mean, people are praying in tongues. People are like on fire with a desire to preach the gospel. Are you living a life of holy desire, a desire for God? When you sit down and read the Bible in the morning, do you desire that? And when you read, this is the thing about the baptism in the Holy Spirit or the fuller outpouring, when this gets stirred up, when you read the Bible, it's different. Because you love it, it makes more sense, there's power there, and it's because of that Holy Spirit, God's love being stirred up in your life, and you receiving His love for you personally. And this is something we continually are asked to do. You know the prayer we prayed before Mass? We did that for a year after the intercessions. Do you remember that? Pray that for a year. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. I want to pour more chocolate in there, but fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Pour forth your Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit filling us more and more. And like, oh, I should be dumping milk and it should be like overflowing, but we won't do that because it's Mass. And also, I really want to drink it, but I want to receive the Eucharist more. And we are to receive more. This fuller outpouring, you know, we're praying for it. Come, Holy Spirit, 3 months later. Come, Holy Spirit. Another month. Come, Holy Spirit. Like, it's kind of like, why do we keep praying this? Does it take Him a long time to get here? Is He slow? No. It's a constant prayer of the church. It's one of the most ancient prayers. Come, Holy Spirit. It's one of those prayers right up there with Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. It stands all by itself. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour more of your love into my heart. This is something we are continually to be renewed in. And the Lord is doing a new thing. I really see it. Having grown up in the charismatic renewal, a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit was always emphasized. But God is doing something that I haven't seen as much when I was growing up. And it's a fuller outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I was with 24 priests on this retreat. And we did a little extracurricular prayer time on the last night. We did a time of prayer, a time of worshiping God. And then we prayed over each other for a fuller outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What was amazing about this is so many of these priests who didn't grow up in the charismatic renewal per se have experienced this fuller outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, not all of them. Some of them were new to it. And so it's not really about this one renewal movement as a movement. It's just about being Catholic. And that's what the Lord wants it to be about. But there's one guy who had never experienced this. He's like, I've never been around this charismatic stuff before, so this was new to me. So what happened was, I went to the chapel, he said, and I prayed. And then I came here. And I was there when he was being prayed with. And somebody said, I think that God wants to tell you, Jesus wants to tell you, He wants you to get out of the boat to walk on water. I don't know what that means for you, but that's what He wants for you, to walk on water. Have confidence. And he said, at the end, he said, wow. I'd never been around this charismatic stuff before, but I was just in the chapel praying about my parish, and I felt like Jesus, I was reading the part where Jesus invites Peter out of the boat into the water, and he walks on water. And I was just saying, Lord, I want to do that. And to him, that means something very specific in his parish. I want to do that, but I'm not sure I should. That seems... And then he hears, I want you to walk on water. Okay. Yes, Lord. God wants to speak like that more often than we think. And that's just one little example of what this means. And so, we're going to do a parish-wide Bible study on formed.org. We're going to hand out some stuff after Mass, and there's a little announcement about it. But we're going to do a parish-wide Bible study where you watch a video. All the cool kids are going to go to a little discussion, like Bible study group. And I want to invite you to open your heart to receiving more of the Holy Spirit through this video series. You don't necessarily have to watch it in the group. You can watch it at home. That's the great thing about Formed, is that it's online. So you don't have to be nailed down to a certain time or place. But to receive more, please, it starts in a couple weeks. I'm preaching it to you now about it because I want you to think about and pray about, are you really living in the fullness of what God has for you? Or does God want to give you more? Do you need more? Are you in a healthy place of desperation? From time to time, I'm there. And I'm like, Lord, I need more. I don't have what it takes. I can't do it. And he's got it. He's got more for us, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit and being fully alive in the Spirit is not an optional add-on. That's not what he wants for us. Oh, yeah, like I go to Mass, but that Holy Spirit stuff, that's not for me. That's not what he wants. He wants all of it for us. That's what it means to be Catholic. That's what it means to be his sons and daughters. To live out of the freedom that comes from the Holy Spirit being poured into our hearts and his power and love transforming our relationship with God.